What's good, Coochie Gang? It's your girl, Chris, at the Monthly. I have finally made it to the H-Town, Houston, Texas, and I'm here with Mr. Timothy Gant Jr. and his lovely wife, Vanessa Gant, and this is the Monthly Episode 5, Doula Day.
This past Saturday, February the 24th, I was finally able to make my way to Houston, Texas, to interview an amazing person by the name of Timothy Gant Jr. and his lovely wife, Vanessa Gant. Timothy is a full-spectrum doula that goes by the name Teddy the Doula in the Houston metro area. They were gracious enough to allow me into their humble abode to spend some time with them, have some good eats, meet the pet family, and have a discussion about the current state of maternal health, what they are doing as a couple to cultivate a positive vibe with reproductive and maternal health, and what we should do going forth in the future to keep that protected. Here is our interview.
All right. Good evening, Teddy. Good evening, Vanessa. How are y'all doing this afternoon? Thank y'all so much for having me in y'all's lovely home. I appreciate y'all for having me. How y'all doing? What's good? What's going on?
The pleasure is all ours. Thank you for making this trip. I know it was a journey getting here, so we do appreciate your patience with everything. But thank you for coming, and we doing pretty good. At least I know I am. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing very good.
You good? All right, that's what I'm talking about.
Good. Yeah, Coochie Gang, this was a long time coming. I was supposed to be here in September. We've been trying to get this together since September, and we finally got it right. So this is why I'm so grateful and I'm so gracious to this man for allowing me the space to be able to bring him into the space. A lot of y'all know Teddy is the second, the monthly male guest. So representation matters. We got to keep that in mind. So thank you again for doing this, Ted. I appreciate y'all. As y'all hear, I keep calling his name. I say Timothy, I say Teddy, but I'm going to let the man himself introduce himself, let you guys know what his official title is and what his origin story is for becoming Teddy the Doula. Take it away, Teddy.
Yes, indeed. My name is Timothy Gant. I do go by Teddy. I am Teddy the Doula. My business name is Tender Starts with Teddy. I am a certified full-spectrum doula. So that is my official title. And I know we'll get into all the doula talk later on, but full spectrum doula, basically what we do, we work with various forms of reproduction because a lot of doulas, people know it's just like a labor and birth doula, but there's postpartum doulas, abortion doulas, mm-hmm. All like any type of thing you could think of, like we work with various forms. So I had some clients that I help with conception work. So we do that as well, like provide fertility options and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, but that's the gist of what a full spectrum doula is.
That is amazing. I knew about doulas just in general, in a generalized sense, but I did not know what a full spectrum doula was. So thank you for telling the Coochie Gang about exactly what that meant. How long have you been in birth work?
I had this passion my whole life, but I recently came into this work. I would say 4 years in June. Yeah, I'll be
okay.
Yeah, it just doesn't hit because it feel like I just got into it. I'm just getting my feet wet in this game. So it's just a blessing to be able to be where I am today. But yeah, it'll be 4 years in June.
That's amazing. That's, yeah. Hey, 4 years is a long time bringing babies safely into this world. So yeah. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing to hear. So I'm pretty sure with this comes a lot of territory where there's some skepticism. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, have you received any opposition or apprehension just based off the fact of you being a black male doula?
Yeah, and to be honest, this is why I really hesitated to get into this work to begin with. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, I had this passion since I was a child. I just didn't know how to navigate that. Because being, a male, especially a black male coming up in my community, we wasn't really exposed to this type of, work. So it's just, it's been a blessing because the apprehension came from myself. I was the one that held myself out of this work for so many years, and I could have been helping so many families. Wow. And it just, I try not to dwell on the past, but I do think about like, man, like if I like, what if I'd gotten this 3 years sooner, 4 years sooner, where would I be today? But if it wasn't for my beautiful wife, like I probably wouldn't be into this today because I came across my full spectrum doula training course and I wasn't gonna apply for it. And my wife talked me into it. She like, just apply for it. Like, you know, like what can go wrong? And I just knew just from being in normal day life how some people are sensitive with their space and how they don't allow certain people in their space.
Right.
So that's where my apprehension came from to join. But it was crazy. Like, I'm just so thankful and blessed that I found the cohort that I got into because they opened me, like they welcomed me with open arms. And I wasn't expecting that. So that's where I could say it was different. Now, don't get me wrong. I have came across some people, but the initial, introduction to this space, it was met with open arms. So I'm just thankful that's for good. the director and the owner of my BADT course. That's why I was birth and advocacy doula training under Savia Wade. Shout out to her. She is amazing. And if it wasn't for her, like, I don't know where I would be today either. Cause like, if I would have gotten to a cohort that wasn't really accepting and welcome of me, I probably would have had second thoughts and probably didn't continue on through this journey. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm long winded, but.
Oh, no, not long winded at all. You're doing real good. So that's actually a perfect segue because Vanessa, I was going to ask you because the fact that he even said that you were his encouragement to go ahead and get it started. First of all, I want to know how the both of you met, but I want to know what your initial feelings was when he first even voiced about wanting to do the birth work.
So we originally met in high school, the summer between 9th grade going to 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
We met through a mutual friend. We talked all that summer, and then we met at school the first day of 10th grade. So from that, you know, just being together all through high school, you know, you start coming up to your senior years and then start talking about careers. And so I knew from then he already wanted to go for OBGYN.
Okay.
But of course, you know, you're 15, 16, 17, and I hear that, and I remember we talked about it. I remember when he first told me, I was like, you know, young, mature mind, you're like, why would you want to do that? So I remember him convincing me a lot, you know, at that young age on, you know, the importance. And I could see he really had a passion behind it.
Right.
So from then, I already knew that's what he wanted to do was some type of birth work or, you know, at that moment it was for OBGYN. So I already knew that. So then as we got older, you know, he let me go to school. I finished school and then once I was coming up to finishing, he told me about this, the advocacy that you found.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so he told me more about doula because I mean, I never even heard of that. And when he told me about it, he was describing, I could see, you know, the passion that he had behind it.
Right.
And I remember, I think that was the night too of the deadline.
Yeah,
that
he
told me about
it.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I mean, you know so much about it. You could tell you really, like, want to do this. I was like, well, then just fill it out. And he was like, no, it ends tonight. He was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I'm like, no, like, fill out the whole thing. Like, sit down on the couch and fill it out.
Right.
And he was like, well, I only have so many hours left. And I was like, well, fill it out. So
it ain't going to take you all those hours to fill it out.
Exactly. Because, I mean, I knew eventually he was going to go to school for some type of work in that.
Right.
And then, you know, he told me about everything and why he didn't want to do OBGYN. And then he found the doula and midwife routes. So I was like, okay.
That is amazing. I love the sound of that. I love the sound of that. So I know you and I, Ted, we were talking a little bit about it earlier. But if you could just really think about it over this 4 year time span, and whether it's at home, hospital, a hybrid of both. How many babies have you brought safely Earthside?
And I had to go
even
back
an estimate,
and look at my
ballpark.
Yeah, ballpark, yeah. I would say roughly 14 to 15.
Okay.
Some of them were virtual because, like I said, I got into this work June of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals weren't even letting the dads in. So, of course, they're not going to let a doula in. So I had, I want to say, 3 or so births virtual before I was even able to be in person for a birth.
Right.
Yeah, and the first birth experience I had in person was at a home birth. And
okay.
That was such an amazing experience. And it's kind of good and bad just because once when I experienced my first hospital birth, dealing with the medical professionals, it was night and day than dealing with doulas and midwives, you know what I'm saying? So I was blessed in a way to have my first experience at a home birth. I was able to see the whole process and from start to finish. But I can say, like, the hospital births have been great. I've been treated with respect, I guess, maybe because of my presence, you know, being a big black man, I guess, you know, a lot of people don't want to mess with you.
Right.
So I've had positive experience in the hospitals as well. But my first experience was at a home birth. And I've experienced all three places to give birth at: hospital, birth center, and home. And yeah, I could definitely see the differences in all of them,
yeah.
But all of them were blessings, you know, because we were able to safely bring baby Earthside. So.
Yes, that's amazing. But it's also a beautiful thing to hear that when you were able to go into the hospital and deal with a healthcare professional in any regard, whether it be a nurse, doctor, or whatnot, that they did handle you with respect, because they already look at birth workers as like low man on the totem pole or beneath them because, oh, I got the degree and all that stuff.
There you go.
That is a blessing to hear that they treated you like an equal, as they should.
Right.
You know, because sometimes y'all intercede where the healthcare professional misses or just simply cannot. So that's a beautiful
right.
thing to hear as well.
Yeah, because we're in there the whole time. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the nurses, they have you hooked up to the little heart rate monitor so they can check you at the nurse's station.
Right.
And they only come when you buzz them. Doctor's only there really delivering the baby.
Right.
So I'm there for the 10, 20 plus hours of labor. So I'm able to see everything. So I could call a nurse when we need to, or the doctor, you know, stuff like that. And it's some cases where no one's in there being able to advocate for a client, and the patient ends up, you know, being mistreated in some type of way. So, yeah, it's like that. Man, there's so many reasons. And also, I definitely wanted to let your tribe know, like, I don't think we got to that question. I don't know if we're going to, but the origin story of, like, what got me into becoming, like my passion, where, you know, they started at, basically.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know if you would like me to go into that.
Yes, no, please do.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I love telling this story.
Yes,
like, you know what I'm saying?
Do.
Like, I love it because this is, like, where I initially got my passion for birth work from. So, I was 12 years old. You know what I'm saying? I was in sixth grade going to seventh. And at the time, like, you know, as a kid, you love life. You know, you love going to school, love seeing your friends, love playing, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I asked my mom, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm the only child. So, that was her only pregnancy, only birth experience. So I asked her, I was like, you know, so how was your birth story with me? How was your, you know, your birth and everything? And I didn't get the answer I was expecting. So initially at the time, I knew how babies got here. I knew they came through the vaginal canal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about cesareans. I didn't know anything about belly births.
Okay.
So I just knew vaginal births and that was it. So when she told me that she had to have an emergency cesarean, that was two things that made me, you know, question, because she said emergency at first. And I'm like, so what was the issue?
Right.
And then she said, cesarean, like, what's a C-section? And, you know, she explained that to me. She explained the reason why it had to happen. And, like, if she had 2 or 3 more contractions before they got me out, I would have been a stillborn. Because
wow.
every time she contracted, my heart rate would drop.
Wow.
And it would just drop. It got to the point where if they didn't act right then, I would have been a stillborn. And it didn't sit right with me at the time, because I'm like, I love life. I love going to school. I love playing video games. I'm like, it was a possibility of me not being able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't sit right with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, why did this have to happen? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it just made me question so many things at that young age. You know what I mean? And so going forward from then, I started learning more about it, learning what complications, you know, came up, all that kind of stuff, seeing what could be done to avoid that. Because I didn't really want any other person to have to go through what my mom went through with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I wanted everybody to be able to come in and to enjoy life, because knowing that I couldn't have been here, it messed with me so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, just hearing her like explain everything to me, it just like really gave me a soft spot for, you know, women that, you know, is it, just think about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But after that, I was growing up, you know what I'm saying, studying more about it, looking into everything, and I found that, like my wife said, I was going to be an OB. I was like, I knew I wanted to help parents deliver babies. Mm-hmm. I knew this is what I wanted to do, but in my community, where we weren't exposed to options.
Right.
We didn't know we had options. So, of course, my main route was going to obstetrics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the high school years, started looking at colleges, seeing what I could do. Learning that, man, it's going to take 12 years worth of time just to be able to, you know, start actually helping and all that. It didn't really sit right with me, especially like learning about the medical field in general, how they, their practices. So I didn't see myself ethically or morally being able to follow that path.
Right.
But I knew I wanted to still help people that gave birth. And that was the only way I knew. But growing up, you know, you get more experience, you get more wiser, you learn, you get more knowledge. And I discovered what midwifery was.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I saw home births, and I saw where the midwife was, and I saw someone giving double hip squeezes to the mom, and I'm like, okay, so who is that? Because dad's right here. Is that the sister? Is that, like, who is this, right? And so that's why I discovered what a doula was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, I could help right now while still working toward becoming a midwife.
Right.
Because eventually I do plan on going to midwifery school and becoming a certified midwife. But I wanted to be able to start helping now. I didn't want to have to wait 10 years down the road to be able to start helping, you know, because it's people dying today, you know,
say that
because of negligence in the hospital. So I wanted to start helping now. And that's where I discovered what a doula was and a midwife. So that's where the gears have shifted right there going toward this, because I wanted to be in birth work. I knew I had to be in birth work.
Right.
But I didn't want to go to the hospital system. So, you know, finding out what a doula was, that's when I started looking up different things, and that's when I came across the birthing advocacy, and they were enrolling and everything for their semester and everything. So that's basically, so going back, that's where my origin started right there, where my passion came from, sitting out talking to my mother. But my other passions came from learning about the medical system, learning how we, the people that look like me, are four times more likely to die in a hospital setting just because they look like me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's negligence, they're not being listened to, they're not being heard. You know, it's not just because of complications that come up that can't be fixed, because our white counterparts have these same complications and they still survive. You know what I mean? So what's up with that?
Right.
You know, and so it just added more fuel to the fire just to burn my passion to say this is where I need to be.
Right.
And yeah, so again, apologize for being long.
No, not at all. Please don't apologize. That was actually perfect, because next thing I was going to ask you was to expound a little bit on Miss Savior Way and the cohort that you became a part of.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so being a part of BADT's cohort, it was a game changer. It really, like, just changed trajectories in my life, because growing up, like I say, we didn't have access to options, and learning about everything that they brought to the table. It wasn't just the standard donor, you know, in the level of just regular doula, you know, certification. They actually went into different things that was more inclusive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't just stick with just the heterosexual white dynamic,
mm-hmm,
of like children, you know, birthing and all that kind of stuff. So they actually talked about trauma-informed care, talking about, you know what I'm saying, queer birth and all that kind of stuff. Like, they got into all that, and then it really opened my eyes to a lot of the situations that I wasn't even aware of that went on out here. And another thing that they were inclusive was, because I didn't, like I said, I was apprehended to join anything because I didn't know if I was going to be included, but they advertised about all inclusive. I was looking through the different things. Sabia, she's a black woman, and I'm like, okay, so we got that in common, you know, we both black. And then I started seeing different people. They had, you know, they had a trans director. They had different people like that. So I'm like, okay, they're including everybody. So they can't exclude me. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So that was really what made me say, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and apply to this, because they were bringing something that other training courts wasn't bringing. So but Sabia herself, like, she's amazing. Like, the birthing advocacy, I can't say nothing bad about it. Like, everything, it was just such a positive experience, and, you know, I'm really grateful for her, so.
That's amazing. I'm going to say it one more time. Representation matters.
Facts.
Because the fact that you said, once you saw that, you was like, okay, well, then they can't disown me. Representation matters, y'all. Mm-hmm. Coochie Gang, for real. Representation matters. Don't think that you're less than. Don't think that you cannot. Don't think that you're not above being able to do something or achieve whatever it is. Go for whatever it is. That's amazing. That is amazing to me. Vanessa, I got one more question for you. Given everything that Teddy just expounded on with us, how do you feel, just as a woman married to a man in this space, how do you feel about how intrinsically in tune he is with you and your personal reproductive health? How does that make you feel?
Really good, because, I mean, not much that I know. And just, I mean, you know, him knowing so much gives me that relief that, like, okay, I'm good, you know, because, I mean, I don't know much about, I mean, as bad as it sounds, I don't know much about all the parts. So just learning so much from him, you know, having that ease that, you know, I'm in the good hands.
Yeah, then like all stay yin good hands.
Exactly. So, I mean, because, yeah, I mean, I always tell him too, like, I don't know if I would be able to, you know, when that time comes, like the whole birth, like, I think I would be very, like, not knowing and just worried, and just to know that I don't have to worry is a great feeling.
Stress-free. Yeah. Stress-free the way to be. I love that. All right. Teddy, do you or have you thought about plans to expand outside of Houston?
Actually, I had a couple clients that were outside of Houston. They were still all in Texas. I had one client that was in Abilene and one client
West Texas. Yeah. That's way the other way.
It's up there. That was a drive right there, you know what I'm saying? Driving in the middle of the night. So crazy story. Yeah. So we were just going out there just to, you know, check up on her and everything. We weren't even expecting her to go into labor.
Wow.
I got off Friday night. So mind you, I am a security officer at a bank. That's my day job. So, you know, I gotta take care of this beautiful woman here and my family. And you know, of course, like starting in birth work, I wasn't getting like all the clients every month and stuff. Right. So you still got to have a stream of income coming in. So working there, I was doing probably like 70 or so hours a week, like the first year of me being a doula. Mm-hmm. So doing that and having clients, it was trying to balance. But I got off work one day after working a 13-hour shift, where 6:30 to 7:30, did that, got off, went to the house, packed up the truck, filled up the truck, and then hit the road to Abilene.
Wow.
We got there around 2:45.
Yeah.
A.M.?
A.M. Wow.
Yeah. 2:45 a.m. So, yeah, it was definitely a journey for that. But it was an amazing experience. You know what I'm saying? We stayed out there a few days. She went into labor while we were on the road. Like, we were on the road. We were planning on getting out there, seeing her the next morning, go get coffee, mm-hmm. Go get breakfast and stuff. Because they lived out there. She was going to Abilene Christian.
Okay.
And so she knew the little area and stuff. And mm-hmm. she had, like, a nice coffee shop, different little places that served breakfast. We were planning on doing that, going out there.
Right.
She called me. We stopped at Bucky's. And, you know, we were probably 2 hours away. She like, so I don't think I peed myself. but I wet the bed. And I'm like, and so I'm like, okay, we on the way. So you good. But yeah, that was an experience there. And then I had a client that was in San Antonio as well.
Okay.
And that was amazing too.
That is super dope. I love that. Do you see yourself out of state?
Some stuff? I would love to. And it's crazy. Being in the cohort, I was able to build relationships with a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. I had one client that was in New York. Of course, that wasn't in person. Right. She was also a part of the cohort. She a doula as well, and she wanted me to be her doula.
Okay.
So she was in upstate New York, and so I was her doula. That was straight virtual, of course, but, right. You know, I was there for the birth as well. But I've had people reach out to me from different states like, hey, you know, how much would it be to get you out of here?
Yeah.
And, you know, like this and that, but I also like, that's why I'm ready to become a full-time doula and step back from my day job. You know what I mean? Because I would have more time to be able to do stuff like that. You know, I can't just up and leave, you know, my work. I'm still working 50 hours a week at my job. So, you know, I can't just up and leave like that. But I would eventually love to do that. I would like being a traveling midwife would be even dope, like when becoming a midwife, you know. But of course that, like, you got to be certified in certain states with that. You know what I mean? But I would love to travel outside of Texas. Like, yo, if I could have a client that, you know, we could work something out, the compensation wise, like where I'll stay, all that, I would definitely make that trip.
Look, and it's coming for you, my guy. I'm telling you, the way that things are set up for you, the universe is going to make that happen. And I'm hoping sooner than later because you're needed. I need people to realize that. Because, yes, we see a lot of female doulas because that's naturally what's in the space. Mm-hmm. But to have a man be that in tune and care that much, that is needed. And it's amazing to see. And it's amazing to be in that type of energy. That is amazing.
Yeah, I also got someone reached out to me just for, like, daddy doula training. And that's one thing I was thinking about. I want to get started as well. Like, once when I do take a step back from working, I do want to start like a training program for dads. You know what I mean? Like, just say, like, I want to do it in Houston where I can meet in person, but also have virtual. So men from out of state, because I had some doulas reach out to me. They're like, hey, I just can't connect with this dad on a certain level. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I love about being a male doula. And I center my services around both partners.
Yes.
You know, it's not just all about the person that's pregnant. It's not just all about the partner. About both of them, you know what I'm saying? And I just help bridge that gap for them to be closer together. And I've had, like, some doulas reach out to me, like, yeah, this dad, he has different questions, and he might not feel as comfortable talking to me about. That's one thing I love. Like, all the dads that I've supported, they felt so comfortable opening up to me. Hmm. And, you know, certain questions wouldn't have got answered had they had someone else, you know what I mean? So, I just love that.
Multiple streams of income. That's the name of the game. I love that. Okay, so I have a question for the both of you. Do you plan on having children? And if so, giving your career path, is the birth plan ready already? Has this something that's been discussed?
Yes and yes. Of course, we have to wait until she's actually pregnant to see what kind of complications, if any, do come up. And that could alter the birth plan. But that's one thing that I like. I tell every one of my clients, like, I like to call it a birth preference chart rather than the birth plan, because all plans are bound to fail in some type of way. And I don't want them to feel discouraged, especially in that moment. That's the most vulnerable time you'll be in your life. You know, I don't want you to feel discouraged. You know, you need to feel confident in what you're doing. So we have a birth preference chart to where we have plan A, B, and C. C, of course, will be cesarean section. And I also educate all my clients on that option as well, just because that can arise. You know what I mean? I don't want you to be unprepared and say, Teddy didn't tell me about this or anything like that. So we go into all that. But like I say, so we talked about, like, the ideal, like what would be plan A, and we discussed that and everything. And it was some things that she definitely didn't want to try, even before learning about, like, you know, going, like, everything that is included in it. Like, even with, like, epidurals and stuff like that, people don't really know what's all in it, how it affects your body. They just think it's just going to relax. Like, well, that's another conversation for another day. But, we have talked about it, and yes, we do. We definitely want kids. I'm confident. Of course, I'm saying that as the partner. You know what I mean? Because I'll be a partner in that situation.
Right.
I'll still be her doula, of course, you know, with a small fee. I was just playing. You giving me the greatest gift anybody could give me, so nah, no charge. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, being that partner, I'm confident in my abilities to be able to support her, and I just want to ensure her as well that, you know, I'm gonna be there so she could feel more confident, because she's the one that's gonna be the one doing the work. I wish I could take the load for her, but I know I can't. And yeah, I know you wish. Like, I really do, like, you know what I'm saying? I want to have that experience, but I know I can't. I physically can't give birth. And, like, that's one thing that really got me, like, into this space. Like, knowing me, I'm a male, I physically can't give birth.
Right.
So the next best thing I feel like I could do is help those who can. Right. And so that's where it started. But knowing that I could be able to support her, It relaxes my mind as well. It eases my mind because it's different. Yes, I love all my doula babies, right? But, like, when it's your partner that's the one carrying that child, it's a little different. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how I would be if I didn't have the information and knowledge that I had today. Like, seeing her, I don't know how I would be able to help her. Even with the first trimester, excuse me, you know, with morning sickness and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just knowing the things that I know I could be able to support her and she could just have such a, so much easier experience. But I'm gonna give you a chance to talk too. I know. So yeah. So do you want to have kids, and do you have your plan together and everything?
I do want to have kids. And I told him too. I'm like, well, you're in charge of everything. I mean, of course.
Period.
If I have my own opinions, I will let you know. I mean, that's what right. I always am. You know, if it's something particular I want, I will let him know. Right away. But other than that, I mean, I told him it's all in his hands.
I know that's
right. So where would your ideal place to give birth? Where would you like to give birth?
That's a good question.
I mean, in home, of course, birth center. I mean, hospital. I'm not scared of it either, you know. I haven't been around too many births. I have been there for my sister's first one. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the knowing everything and, you know, knowing I'm in his care, I'm like, well, if it has to be hospital. It has to be hospital. That's fine.
Because either way, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, like but I mean, if I have straight to, you like know, that. Just be able to pick and, you know, go through what I want, of course, probably birth center or home, but more birth center, so we don't have to clean up the mess.
Yeah, I'm
but
telling
birth
you.
Center or again hospital. You. But I mean.
Yeah, birth
is it's all up to him. Right on. All up to him.
I love that. Y'all making me happy. I love this. Baby. I love this. Y'all got me. Y'all got me fluttering back here. I'm feeling the love back here. Let's segue into something a little serious before we wrap up, Ted. All right. So in recent current events, we've seen, unfortunately, a couple lose their baby at birth. Mm-hmm. The OBGYN mishandled the birth, mm-hmm. And fabricated some things about the death after the birth, and now it's ended up being deemed a homicide, and they've charged the OBGYN for that child's death. Mm-hmm. We have also seen a woman be given abortion pills after she just had fertilized IVF with two embryos, resulting in losing both of those embryos by being given, CVS did this, by the way, by being given this wrong prescription. What are your thoughts on the current state of maternal health?
And that is a really good question, because that was one of the reasons that I started learning, and that was another focal point of why I got into this work. You know what I mean? Because like my mom, she was a Black woman. She didn't have resources and, you know, information at her disposal because we just didn't have that type of information. And a lot of negligence in the hospital, like it's just really kind of hard to talk about, because like I'm really picturing that family like dealing with that situation, and multiple families have been wrongly handled by the medical system. And one thing I really need to hit home with people is the medical staff, they need to stop thinking that they're God, thinking that they're high and mighty, and they need to know that we're all human, mm-hmm. and we all have different experiences. They always try to do this cookie cutter shit. I'm sorry, I don't know.
No, this is real but adulterated like, at the monthly.
Yeah, because like they be trying to do this cookie cutter stuff to where it's like one size fits all, and it's like it's not that. You know, every birth is different and unique in its own way. Every person is different and unique. They don't take time to get to learn their patients. They don't. You know, they just see them as another number. And that's one thing right there, that if that could just change in itself, the ideology of the thing of like, hey, y'all coming to us for help, so you just need to listen to us and us not listening to you. If that one simple thing changes and you actually treat your patient like they're not just a patient but a human, that would go a long way with communication, being able to believe the client, the patient, when they're saying that they're having some complications, you know, being able to, you know, have the heart, you know, they like a lot of medical staff, they just there for the paycheck, and that's a big problem. And especially in our community, I think they take advantage of that, because we are the ones that we don't have a lot of the information. We don't have access to all the options and resources that our counterparts do. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it firsthand, because I've had a client that was white. She, you know, that was a virtual client, and I've seen she, like, just her experience with the doctors and the staff that was there was totally different than some other clients that I've had, mm-hmm. you know, that look more like me and my wife. So, that just right there, treating everybody the same, listening to people, and not actually going about birth as like a cookie cutter type of thing, that would go a long way in itself. And to the pharmacy people, that's some bullshit. Like, you know how like crucial it is. Like, medication could be life or death type shit. Like, what if you gave a kid the wrong prescription and shit and something happened with them? Like, that, like, the reason y'all get paid so fucking much is because y'all are handling something that's important and treat it as such. Like, yo, like, I couldn't imagine, like, my wife going through that. Like, IVF is expensive as fuck in at the beginning. People don't understand. They just think that shit easy. You just go get an egg and fertilize it and this and that. Hell no, nah, we in America. That's, man, you paying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and that's not even a 100% guaranteed success rate. You can pay all that money and still come up empty hand. So the fact that she had two and lost both, yo, son, fuck compensation. I need more than compensation. I'm pissed off. Like, $40,000, $50,000 ain't gonna just right that wrong. You know what I'm saying? So, nah, yeah. Anyway, like, but the state of where we in, people need to really take their job serious. Don't get in this work if you're not going to take it serious. That's the thing. Like, you're playing with lives. You know, with the pharmacy aspect, because you're giving medications. What if you gave some opioids to an opioid addicted person or whatever while they were pregnant? You know what I'm saying? Like, didn't pay attention to the pills that you're giving them. And then in the hospital, like, you, like, don't go there just for no check. You can't, like, you, this is, we in the work of healing people, helping people. And y'all are hurting people. Y'all are killing people. So that's a difference. Like, that right there, if that changed, we'll be in a such better place. Mm-hmm. We'll be in a far better place. But, I mean, that's what I have to say on it, you know. At the end of the day, it's some bullshit, and that's why I'm glad I'm in the position I am that I'm in right now. So.
Indeed. No, very profound statement. I love what was said because you echoed a lot of the sentiments that a lot of my personal following have said, and just people just in the know of what's going on behind these scenes with these medical and healthcare professionals, and it's asinine. So I appreciate you for being as verbal as you was on that. Mm-hmm. Okay, last question. Like with any of the other guests here on the monthly, where can the Coochie Gang find you, look you up, tap in with you, follow you? Where can we find you?
Yeah, so, of course, this is my business name, right? Attendance Starts with Teddy. I am Teddy the Doula on Instagram. That is my business page. You can also find me on Facebook at Timothy Gann Jr. And I should be coming out with my website. It should be done, I want to say, before summer. I want to have it up and running before summer. And it's going to be Attendance Starts with Teddy. I might have a TeddyTheDoula.com. I'm not sure yet, but I would definitely let you know. It might be TeddyTheDoula.com. But
yeah, that sounds good. That rings good off the tongue. I like Teddy the Doula.
Yeah, but yeah, right now as of today, you can find me at, you know, Teddy the Doula on Instagram, and also on Facebook at Timothy Gann Jr.
Amazing, I love it, Timothy. Vanessa, again, thank y'all so much for letting me into y'all's humble abode today to speak with y'all. I love everything that y'all had to say. I love the camaraderie and the united front that they not only just see the doula, but they see the partner as well, and it is visualized. So I appreciate y'all for taking the time out today. This was amazing, amazing, amazing. Coochie Gang, y'all already know what time it is. Tap in with this man. If you, your homie, your co-worker, whomever, if you do not want to take the hospital route, there are other solutions. You're looking at one right now. So thank you guys for tuning in to this month's episode of The Monthly, episode 5, Doula Daddy. And I'll be back at y'all next month in March. I'll see y'all soon.
Peace.